Hey everybody, this is Jason and you're listening to Brood. Today's episode is all about Serena Williams and one of the incidences that took place at the US Open earlier in September of 2018. This episode features Steve Bramlett and Marty Holman, and we utilize the recording remote feature within Anchor, which continues to get better. And of course, as you can hear here, we're also using some background music, some of the new features that are available. So the Anchor app just makes podcasting easy and we're enjoying it quite a bit. Hope you enjoy this episode and let us know what you think. All right, we're using the recording feature. Steve, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm glad to be on.
That's excellent. Marty's here as well.
Yeah, thanks. Perfect. Thanks for having me, Jay. This is an exciting time. Mm-hmm. Exciting conversation we're having.
That's right. It's not exciting yet.
Yeah,
you're inviting people that will be exciting and they should continue to listen.
Personally, I am excited every time I get to talk to you two.
Oh, man. The feeling is mutual. The sentiment is mutual.
So, Steve, you asked us here because you've got questions.
I do. Which questions? Do we want to go over the Serena Williams or other questions?
If that's the direction you wanted to go, for another conversation. You wanted to talk about Serena Williams? Let's talk about Serena Williams.
Perfect. Let's. This is a little bit post-mortem, but she had a blowout at the U.S. Open, and the incident has become extremely political. And maybe it shouldn't be political. Maybe it should be more about tennis and superstars. But it is what it is at the moment. So I don't know. Do you want to describe it? Should I describe it?
You go ahead and describe it. You seem to be much more knowledgeable about event.
Yeah, and I didn't actually see the event. I've only heard people describe it.
Okay. Well, let me give you my firsthand account. Okay. I am a fairly avid tennis watcher. The irony is she comes to Charleston about once every couple years. And we went to see her, and she was knocked out. Like, we basically got tickets for the semifinals game and the one that she'd be in, like, whatever side of the bracket she was on. And she got knocked out beforehand. So that was a little bittersweet. Let's see what else. I think I'm going to go there with it. During that game, my wife and I got in a small argument because we had these great seats.
Yeah.
And the ticket holder was like, I want to see everyone's ticket. And then he like singles me out and was like, may I see yours first? And I'm like, whoa. Notice that, like, you know, out of like the five African-Americans here, or not even five, I would say two, three, I'm the first one that you go to. And I was very like belligerent about it. And my wife's like, I think you're overreacting. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so tennis sometimes can have racial overtones. Avid watcher, loved her HBO special. Fast forward to, you know, the U.S. Open. I was watching some of it. It wasn't going well. And I kind of tuned out. And my wife calls me back downstairs to say, Steve, like, everything is blowing up right now. You got to see this. And before me, basically, we rewind back to the incident. And I see her kind of get the warning. I don't know what's going on. And I think part of the reason why I connect with her side of the story is because I was just as confused as she was, and seemingly the announcers were, about what was going on. Not that she was in the right. I'll just say that I was confused about what was going on. And she gets a warning because of the coaching, doesn't realize it's a warning. Then she goes off the handle, breaks her racket, and then gets fined a point. And then she gets mad because she doesn't realize the first penalty was coaching, and then yells at the ref, says, you're a thief, you stole a point from me, thinking that, you know, she wasn't, the first warning wasn't an official one, and she loses a game. And then there's like a meltdown ensues. She tries to compose herself and she ends up getting outplayed. She was already being outplayed and loses.
Right.
And it's, you know, and I think a lot of, you know, and she loses to someone that wasn't American in the U.S. Open, misses, you know, breaking the all-time record or something like that. And
did you say wasn't American?
She lost to a Japanese Haitian.
Okay.
She was part, you know, lost to someone from Japan. Okay. And a lot of people, you know, felt for her, some because she was American, some because Serena has had a history of sort of getting strong calls against her that aren't always enforced of other players. Mm. There was one in the French Open where she wore kind of a cat suit outfit, and it was to help with her blood clots. And they said basically that that's against the rules. And she's like, you know, this is kind of medical, and it's, you know, it's actually not as revealing as some of the other outfits that people are wearing. And so people felt that that was very discriminatory.
Yeah.
So fast forward to this one, and there's two ways you can look at it. One way you can look at it as, I Marty, you and I spoke about this. This is kind of a new version of the Tuck rule, where one fan base sees the Patriots, or, you know, in this case, not Serena Williams, getting unfair treatment, you know, of a rule that's kind of sketchy. Or another way you can look at it is, maybe there's some discrimination going on. I don't think there was discrimination going on. I'm a little bit, I'm more of the Tuck rule, but it's hard because in the argument, I think some people from both sides have said, maybe this is discrimination. And you and a friend of ours posted something, you know, that pushed on the discrimination thing. And I think you and I came at it saying, well, let's talk about it in a different way, but that's kind of where we're at. Is that?
Yeah, I think that and that conversation, I think, is fine. To me, the problem is that she had decided to have that conversation. Maybe she was having it before, to be honest. I don't know. But mm-hmm. She's having it. You kind of lose your moral authority when you're getting schooled. And let's be honest, she doesn't normally get schooled.
Sure.
She's one of the best. She might be the best player in the world, as far as I know. Concerned.
My heart and I say yes.
But that being said, you lose the moral authority to speak about that there in that and use that case because you're getting schooled, because the person on the other side of the aisle is not even, I mean, it's a kind of a very diverse scenario, right? You have a Portuguese ref, a Japanese player.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it just seemed odd. I think your other example of the outfit that she wore before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember years ago, Agassi pressing in on that issue to tennis, and always wearing the crazy, and he was consistently getting penalized because he was wearing colors that weren't white to a particular tournament or whatever.
Yeah, the Wimbledon, you have to wear all white.
Yeah. And so he didn't 1 year and got penalized for it, whatever. So it just seems like, I mean, tennis has always been that way. That was a sport that you walked into, and now to, in the middle of, you know, you're getting your tail whipped, as you said, before and after, to then speak out about it and to have this about that, it seemed odd to me. I think the conversation is good. I just don't think right now, because of that particular thing, it's a good.
You think she comes off as a poor loser or sore loser?
That's exactly what I think. Because she doesn't lose very much, right? I mean, that's what we know. We know that she's been on top, not even to her sister, to be honest. I think she's the one that wins. Yeah.
Serena's been dominant her whole career. Yeah. Yeah.
They're arguing. There's an argument to be made that she's the most dominant athlete of all time.
Okay. I certainly don't have the stats to diss that or to prove that.
Certainly as a woman. Certainly from woman athletic, from a female standpoint.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But also there's another argument that all time, male or female.
Yeah, I think that's
Jay doesn't want to give that up.
Yeah, no, I think that that's I think it's a legitimate argument, but you're gonna find a lot more difficulty getting that claim just because there's just so many more well-known and well-documented examples in men's sports than in women's sports, and that's because women's sport is just younger and smaller impact at this point. It may not always be, but it is right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's weird in today's conversation that like, and this is the part that's kind of frustrating is you go into a conversation not knowing of the dog whistles that have already been there or that are there. You know, it's like you wanted to make it more about the sport. And I would say, even for me, the first thing I heard, I'm like, wow, Marty went there. It was my first reaction to it.
Okay. Well, so the reason I went there was because of Noah, right? It wasn't even because
of Noah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I hear him do a lot of political things, which is fine. And I actually agree with him about a lot of those things. You know, it tends to reek of, oh, here's something else that proves what I'm saying.
Sure.
It's not dissimilar to what what's his face does on the right, Ben Shapiro, right? That particular thought process where here's a point I'm going to use this example. I'm going to talk really fast. I'm going to use a great speaking voice and I'm going to do this thing. And to me, it just felt like, no, she went in, she got beat pretty poorly, and don't use that example. I mean, if you want to talk about this, that's fine. But so Williams, I don't even know if Williams was saying that or what she was saying. And my response was actually more about Trevor Noah's commentary.
Let's get to that for a second, though. Like, what was Williams saying? I think her main thought was, as a mom, I was trying to, you know, like she had her first child. And I think her main thought was, as a mom, I'm trying to set a good example for my kid. I wasn't cheating. And in her mind, she wasn't cheating. And maybe she didn't even see the coach's hand signals. The coach admitted he was, you know, he was giving her coaching, but then said, everyone does that. You know, he said, in fact, the other coach was doing it at the same time I was doing it. I don't know if it was worthy of a penalty. And so, her thing was less about that and more as a mom, which some people, you know, resonate with, and other people say, well, that's not fair because, you know, there are plenty of moms doing things and whatever. But,
I actually agree with her there. I thought that was a great response. Like, as mm-hmm. a mom, I think, so here's the thing. She's right there. Like, to go back and to get upset because he called her a cheater, that's fine. Like,
right.
I don't have, like men and women go all the times at the ref. I have no issue with that. They go at the ref. Problem is, right? The ref is the final.
Yes.
The ref is it, right? Now, eventually you can get to a place where you could go to appeals committee or whatever, I guess. That's fine. But this guy has a great reputation, like in the tennis community. Yes, based on everything I've read, being firm yet fair. And so then you just have to deal with the consequences of how you connect with him. And so, okay. She went after him. She said, I'm not that person. Totally fine. But then, you know, you deal with the consequences.
So as a fan myself, I agree with what you're saying with the caveat of there's something that's a little bit weirdly inconsistent. Like, I've never seen someone, and I don't know the stats, I've never seen someone penalized a game before. And I've seen bigger blowups than that within tennis. And people I've talked to that have been on your side of it or on the other side of it, they cite John McEnroe. I'm like, okay, isn't that like late 70s, early 80s? Like, is there someone recently that's been penalized a game? And I'll take it even a step further, which isn't sort of fair, but is there a superstar recently that's been penalized a game for a similar, you know, frustration with the ref, similar outburst?
Right. So would you say, for example, LeBron James gets away with more than other people do on a basketball court, and everybody is okay with that because he's LeBron James?
Yeah, I hate to go there with it. Yes, I think in NBA superstars get away with a lot, and they shouldn't get away with a lot in the NBA. You know, tennis being person versus person, I realize I'm being slightly hypocritical here. Tennis being person versus person, I think they should be held to the same standards.
Well, then, like, maybe we should look at golf as a good example. Does Tiger Woods have the same responsibility to report an accidental stroke of the ball because he touched it, for example, improperly,
yes,
as everybody else on the golf course?
Yes.
Right. So that's the standard that golf has in place, and Tiger Woods has to adhere to that just like everybody else, and would be penalized by the PGA or whatever the governing body of the particular tournament was for not upholding those rules. And so I don't know enough about tennis, to be honest with you. I don't understand why coaching is frowned upon or illegal, against the rules. I don't understand why, but given those circumstances, you know, the best thing she could have done, right, is, in terms of her chances for the tournament, is not to blow up in that moment, but then recompose herself and try to win despite the fact that she was warned about that. Essentially, what it is ego. And we all have it. We all struggle with it. And there are times it gets the better of us. And in this particular case, her ego, however, whether justified or not, got her in a situation where she decided to sacrifice the contest itself, or at least in that moment, sacrifice a part of the contest, because she couldn't believe that she was being shamed in the way that she was around this rule.
I do agree. I will say that some refs weighed in on it in a USA Today article, and they said, again, you know, she's not in the right, but they wish the ref would have further explained himself, especially when Serena was noticeably confused by the warning.
Yeah. Like, and you know what? In hindsight, that's a great thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mistakes were made all around. I struggle with, you know, being a huge Serena fan and yet saying, yeah, like, I agree with you. Like, there's a part of it where she needed to rise above the fray and do better.
She didn't need to.
I will say that I think
don't misunderstand my statement. She didn't need to. If she wanted to sacrifice that moment to make some sort of grander point, then that's fine. But, you know, if you, after the fact, essentially, if it gets turned into some sort of political thing after the fact to help justify the loss of cool and sort of ego taking over, then that to me is just trying to rewrite the moment into something that it isn't.
I don't know. So I haven't seen her come out with any other statements, you know, except during the game. And post game, when she asked the crowd to calm down, right, and asked the crowd to celebrate with the winner. So I don't know if she's tried to really politicize it.
I that's a good point. Well, let me. I have to go.
No, yes.
But this has been good, and what we'll do is we'll put this out on the interwebs.
I like it. I love it.
I want some more of it.
Well,
thanks,
it was good,
guys.
Hey, thanks, dude.
Yep. Take care. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Jason.